Should we continue?
Right.
Okay, we've been working on Simon Lamed Vav for several weeks. I think Mr. Shem, today we will wrap it up, and he's going to end with a path forward. The core of Simon Lamed Vav, he went through twice, three times even, but so they laid out the five different mistakes, five different versions of lacking Emunah and Yichud HaBorei. Two different versions are Avodah Zarah related, that he listed initially, is going to be the way many people think, a Christian approach, and then many people who are Jews who are wantonly in violation of mitzvahs out of a sense of rebellion. And he developed them in detail, the five different deos, the five different mistakes. And then in the next paragraph, they went on to page design, and he wrapped them up. And he stresses here, picking up on page Zayin, "Mimashet tzarich la'amin, who karov l'mashet is kind wadat." A Jew has to bear in mind the following points: "Should be Yosha who yisparach shemo eno mucher b'masa." A Kadosh Baruch Hu is not forced into anything. This is a theological mistake that I make. No one can force HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand. Some people who believe in magic will say that, and some people believe in Yiddishkeit, but sort of with like a very heavy skula twist. Sometimes make the mistake of thinking you can like force God to do X, because we're going to do this and that, and then like Hashem has to do X, Y, Z. There's no such thing. That is fundamentally absurd, to think you can force HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No creature can power up to the extent that I can successfully battle HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even to use the principles, to use the systems that Kadosh Baruch Hu himself created and set up, you can't use them against Hashem. He made them. And therefore he can pull the plug on physics, he can pull the plug on mathematics, he can pull the plug on chemistry as he wishes.
He's talking about math and science,
he's
talking about
koach. Both.
Learning and
both, or everything. Kadosh Baruch Hu decided that he's not mechuyev to listen just because we daven. He set up a system where he told us in advance, this is how he intends to operate. If he wants to, he doesn't have to. He gives an example. Eino mevado filo kshafim. The Gemara says, Henry Tamachzayim. Eino mevado, there's nothing but a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a very fundamental pasuk. That's the pasuk we've been... the end of the pasuk that we discussed earlier. That was V'yadatim Hashem V'sal Avecha. That's what he was talking about earlier. To work on understanding deeply this notion of Yichud. K'shem Elokim B'Hashemayim Me'al V'Arts Mitachas. That's Einod. That's not Einod. Einod Mavado is a different pasuk. Einod Mavado, nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Same concept. No power but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Afilu K'shafim, the Gemara says. Even Kishuv. What does that mean? The Rov Rishonim who understand that Kishuv exists assume that that is one of the systems that Kadosh Baruch Hu designed and put into place. The Gemara does use the language on the same Amud that the Kishuvim can contradict the heavenly family, and can contradict what the Malachim are up to, but still, that's because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants that system to work. But Eino Mavado Afilu Kshafim means Kishu who wrote it. If the Kadosh Baruch Hu decides otherwise, Moshe B'Kachom Avatlam, he's in charge. He can negate it. V'Hayu K'lo Hayu, it'll be as though they never were. V'Lo Kishu Chashu HaPsoim, not like foolish people think. Sheyuchu Hishtamesh Mikelav Atzmam Kinegdo Chas V'Shal. That you could somehow use God's own tools against him. It's silly. And Rav Chaim Freelander in his footnote 30 points out that these fools that he's referring to, that's a reference back to Group number five, the Poshe Yisrael. Mistake number five. They think, you know, that they have this Greek image, Chas v'Shalom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he has emotions like people do, and he has insecurities like people do, and, you know, we can get under our skin and annoy him. And we'll make Hashem be annoyed. You can't make Hashem anything. That's just absurd. Who Adon HaKol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules all. Okay. So that's a key idea. There are also people who have that take with schoolists, definitely. Some sound like you sound like outsmart HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's, the words don't make any sense.
I feel like if you pour your heart, like you pour your whole heart out and like you cry from him, like he has to, like,
right, so it has to is the wrong term. It's not God needs to. He told us that he plans to. But it could be, let's say, a delayed reaction, maybe, because of Kesh Baruch Hu. See, he promised us that sincere tefillos will have an effect.
Where is he from?
Where's that Gemara? Eino Chozeres Reka. I don't got to look up. I don't remember. Enough of Zara's Reagan. No. But that's because of Kadosh Baruch Hu, who intends to keep his promise. But it's not like we can force him.
But if we do something, if he has, what are those things called, the math, that you put it into the...
Function. Yeah, but Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to set up the function.
Right.
So if he promises he's not going to, so that means
he's giving us a function. So we're able. He's able to take. It's not going to take away the function that he promised us.
Okay, but that's because of his choice. It's not as though you can outsmart a Kadosh Baruch Hu and get a different end goal than he wanted.
Within his framework, you could. I mean, that's obviously not outsmarting him, but you could do what the framework that he gives us. To get what we want, you know?
No, that's correct. He set up a framework. He told us this is how I intend to operate. But it's not as though you're forcing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get a result that he's not interested in having.
Well, I don't know if the Bali Segula people would say that they're trying to get something that God doesn't want.
So I think some of the more extreme versions will sometimes say that, yes. Almost like you're outsmarting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, if you do this, then Hashem has no choice but to. Don't say Hashem has no choice but to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself chose to create a patterned universe. That the Olam Hazeh follows certain rhythms, certain patterns, is predictable in many ways. That's by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's choice. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that generally gravity should work. Once in a while, he decides to suspend gravity. Pre-assumption was suspension of gravity.
It's not a promise by Hashem. Hashem didn't promise us the gravity is going to work.
The truth is, the Gemara does talk about use language like that, I think. At the end of Pesachim. Or it talks about pre-assumption, the Tanai Hisna, Kadosh Baruch Hu made Tanai. I said that's essentially this idea. And that it was the Yam was Chosel Eisano, the Gemara Darshan Lutanao. Now the Yam after pre-assumption went back to the way Kadosh Baruch Hu had originally organized. The physical universe.
The same level that
I'm not sure. Promise, but that's a system that Kadosh Baruch Hu put in place. Physics works because God wants it to. Mathematics work because God wants mathematics to. He could choose to suspend it. He generally doesn't, and we see that Kadosh Baruch Hu generally is interested in the world working according to certain principles. But it continues to work by those principles because HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to want to work by those principles. He's not stuck in any way. Nom, zehu ma sheyesh al hamin ve'emunah. Here comes a critical turning point at the very end of this similar book. Everything we've set up until now, the last few pages, is what we need to believe. But going back to a point that we stressed several times before, the ideal is not only to believe, to accept unbelief, but also to root ideas that we believe in deeper understanding through analysis. V'yadata yom ha'shevos ha'levavecha. So birur ha'muna hazos, to figure this out thoroughly and to demonstrate who miskalim mikol amasli mikol abrios mikol avtachos. The details will flow from looking around the world. The details will flow from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised. To Moshe bi Aaron ul'el. The movement towards greater clarity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yichud is one of the overarching desires or design principles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the universe. Because Baruch designed the universe around this ultimate end goal of Gilui HaYichud. All the chains of causality, the way Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, ultimately leads towards this fight and ultimate end goal. So if we could even make the statement, a bold statement, the entire universe and everything we can understand about it all rests, all rides on Shleimus Yichudo, on the fullness of Yichud HaBorei, short to the Galos, before Inyan of Ramayla. This notion of Gilui HaYichud. I'm sorry, before I was talking about understanding through inquiry, not as much the inquiry as the world coming to place, this will be clear to everyone. Well, what the Alkane is about. In the second half of Arlene. Yivalein mizeh, shekasher navin gilu yichudo zeh, bameh talui, navin gam ken kol chukas avram ha'ela. If we can understand more of the dynamic of gilu yichud, this notion of the universe marching towards a place of everyone having the clarity, of self-evident clarity about yichud ha'borei, everything we talked about till now, Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence and complete control of the universe, then we can understand how things work. Because ultimately, the way everything works, the entire design of the universe is built around this end goal. If we can understand Gilui HaYichud, we can understand a lot about the universe. We'll also see as the Sefer unfolds how, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired, chose to build his universe around Gilui HaYichud, not only the physical design aspects of the world, but the metaphysical, spiritual design aspects of the world. Right? What we talked about before, the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to create us as imperfect beings, living in an imperfect world, and there's opportunity to mashlim ourselves. Now we're starting to tie the pieces together in broad strokes. Avodaso v'kibul sara, the notion that here there are Oved and there's Om Hazer who gets Char. He says no other paradigm, no other set of concepts would explain the metaphysical structure of the world quite like this one. Gilu HaYichud. There's no Avraham Neshama. So the Neshama says, wow, Oslam and Zion. I'm fascinated. This is what I'm looking forward to with incredible desire. You give me step by step. Now let's peel away another layer of the onion. How is it? I'm now starting to understand the core idea, the central axis here is this idea of Gilui HaYichud. You're saying somehow everything flows from that. I'd love to understand how. We need to understand well and thoroughly to understand the imperfections of this created universe. Why are there bad things? Shibyan already mentioned before, a perfect God, you would expect a perfect creature, a perfect universe. See, a perfect God creates an imperfect world that needs understanding. I think I mentioned M. L. Goldberg's line, right? A perfect God created an imperfect world perfectly. We're trying to understand that perfectly. And in that lies this notion. Because often, the chesronos of the universe, shalok chok shle musa, don't seem to fit with Bon Shalom's perfection. Because of the problem of evil, he says, that what philosophers call theodicy, T-H-E-O-D-A-C-Y, the problem of evil, that kasha is what drives all five of those mistaken ideas we mentioned earlier in Simon Langrod. If you believe in a perfect God, one perfect God who created, who loves us and created the whole universe, you would have imagined that a perfect God would have created a perfect universe, only goodness. Why is there bad in this world? Doesn't that tell you one mistake or not? Now we'll begin to explain it all thoroughly. Here in the middle of page 12. When we say that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Yachid, he's a Yachid. We understand what it means. There's none other than he. In Hefecha, no opposite. In Lamonea, no limitations. As opposed to the five mistaken notions of earlier. Hatov. It's not that Kadosh Baruch Hu is good and is connected to good and contains good and gives good. We have to say there's no opposite, no bad. The other qualities that we think of in as applying to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that it says, by the way, as an aside, it says qualities that we think of, shnuchalach shobo, those qualities we can imagine thinking about applying to him, the reason why it's sort of being indirect, nuchalach shobo, is after all, that's what the Rambam says, that we can't, which Rambam Kal himself made reference to earlier. Right? Typically, we say Kadosh Baruch Hu is a chacham, Kadosh Baruch Hu is a rachum, but not in the way a human being is a racham or a chacham. It's fundamentally different. He's in a divine way. We are in a human way. So, but these are all approximations. Right? The best we can do, the best approximation, the best metaphor we can use for describing the divine reality. So he says, we think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some sense as being a chacham. There is no opposite, Perish, Derech Mashal, for instance. The Geder HaChachma, in Shaykh HaSichlos, Kelo Chachma Yigdoro Samasha Hadas Malimitsir Edvar Malyosha. If you're a chacham, you don't define chachma as a lack of foolishness. Chachma is to be full of ideas that are correct. Correct understands the world. The das is, your deya is full of tziuri hadvar mal yosher. You're full of imagining things, understanding things, al yoshram, in a correct, accurate way. You have an accurate picture of the universe. If a person is a chassid, there's no place for bad. To do good for all. But I don't define chassidus as a lack of evil. I don't define wisdom as a lack of foolishness. I define wisdom as an accurate understanding of the world. I define chassidus as doing good for others, which is fascinating, by the way. That's the core definition of chassidus, is to be beneficent, to be altruistic. The Geder HaYichud Shaych HaHefech, is the definition of Yichud involves Yichud She'en Acherimo. You are defining it as using its opposite. The Geder Sha'armayel Tukim HaTov Mitzalatmo. When we try to find other virtues, we define the essential good content of the virtue, the knowledge, the awareness, the beneficence. But yichud, we talk about the opposite of bad. soon. Atehin Charoa. So he says, well, look here. Im Hayrotza Kadosh Baruch Hu Galos. Kol Shar Mael Shle Musa. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to us to come to recognize other virtues of His, other aspects of His perfection. They're all pure goodness, right? The wisdom and the chassidus and so forth. Ain begidim elakim atov. Shaykh begiluyam asiyas hara. He says the first thing to recognize is that Kadosh Baruch Hu was interested in full recognition, making his chassidus self evident, making his chachma self evident. That wouldn't require something bad to set you up for that gila. After it's also legalus hayichud, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make his uniqueness and his omnipotence, his all powerfulness, evident, then definition of yichud is there's none other, there's only good, there's no bad, there's no other power. Hinei shaykh laso sara l'shlolo somen amatiz hamuchach v'hashlita. A little abstract, and we're going to have to unpack this. He says to lay out yichud habore, it makes sense, at least in the theory. We'll have to see how this plays out. HaKadosh Baruch would create ra first, and then negate it. To make the ra, and l'shlol also b'namitzias hamuch v'ashlita. To show, in other words, that the ra has no mitzius muchrach, has no necessary reality. It doesn't have to exist. It doesn't exist independently. It has no shlita. It has no control. In other words, the clearest, what he's saying is a clear manifestation of gilui hayichud is, you see that ra? You see that satan? You see that evil? It looks like it's operating on its own. But look carefully, you'll see it itself is only being driven by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the entire definition of Yichud becomes clear. And he says, don't tell me, Altiti Lomar, don't say what's true about other virtues also. To understand wisdom, you have to have a chance to see the opposite. You have to see foolishness. Levar Hasidus Tarkal Haris Achzarius. In order to appreciate and understand Hasidus, you have to see what cruelty is, because he's defined Hasidus before as beneficence. So you have to see sadism and cruelty. Ki ein hefach nikar el mihafcha. You can only tell something by looking, by contrast, it's opposite. He says no. It's a question of perception. The core definition of Hasidus is not non-sadism. The core definition of a chachma does not involve the opposite, that it is the opposite of sichlus. Strategically, it may be easier to notice. I might have knees. I never appreciated my knees until I injured them. And all of a sudden, I discovered that I can't even tie my shoes that big in my knees. I never realized I need my knees to tie my shoes. Who would have thunk it? Right? But then, all of a sudden, you can't bend your knees for a couple weeks. You discover how much you need your knees. Right? So that's a practical point. Fundamentally, your knees were there beforehand also. Fundamentally, you could have appreciated them if you had thought about it. But, practically speaking, strategically speaking, people appreciate something more in kind of, I get my knees back, I couldn't see for a while, now I can see again, now I appreciate my sight more. It's a question of appreciation. That's just strategics, tactics. That's not fundamentally, I don't need to talk about kneelessness, so I don't need to define knees as not having a brace. The definition of a knee is what it is. It's a joint that allows for more motion, and so on and so forth. Chassidus and all these miles other than yichud, fundamentally they're defined by their good content.
Saying if you see evil, you can appreciate good, what good is.
What?
Saying if you're able to see what evil is, you're able to appreciate what good really is.
You might appreciate it more, but it's not part of the core definition. Negating the bad is part of the definition of yichud. Kula mina suka ze yichashu. Negating all sorts of imperfections are fundamentally not part of the definition of that. Negating the opposite of chachma is part of the definition of yichud habore. Negating the opposite of chasidus is part of yichud habore. Mishirotz lavin, socially arev mine sug echad and mine sug achir. He says, this is the first step on the path. Right? We appreciate, once we appreciate the notion of, let's wrap up, once we appreciate the notion of yichud habore, that there's not just one God, but unique and one fully powerful being. All others are creatures who HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives particular powers and capabilities to, but fundamentally are always perennially dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for continued functioning. Right? So that notion of Yichud HaBore, that's very powerful. And the process of it becoming apparent is the ultimate story of the universe. That's the moral subtext of the whole history of the universe. Is the trail, the journey of Gilui HaYichud. And we're starting to understand, begin now to dig into what Gilui HaYichud is in concept, and it's and why did the Yichud in particular, Gilui HaYichud involves negation of bad, negation of imperfect, a demonstration of all that ultimately is being driven by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being powered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And nothing other than him and nothing bad has any independent reality or power other than that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to choose to give. It's a powerful concept. And through that we're going to begin to see how Gilui HaYichud as a concept drives the entire dynamic of the world as it works. We'll continue this journey, which next time.
Didn't you say in the beginning that Gilui HaYichud is the only thing that we can properly understand normally? Meaning every other aspect of Hashem we have to understand, but we can't understand based on what it is, we have to understand based on what it's not.
Right. Correct. You say now he's saying. But I believe that what he said there is because Gilui HaYichud is. I believe he's making the same point. He gets a very good ha'ara. Now he's coming to sort from another angle or from a deeper level. That Gilui HaYichud, Yichud is fundamentally a negative statement. And that's really what it really is. Which is why to say there is none other but him, Ein Od Milvado, is a thorough statement of Yichud HaBore. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chachma is a reality, which is we're not able to fully appreciate and understand it. Fundamentally, it's a positive thing. All we can say is, well, he's not a Sachal. We can't really apprehend what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chachma is. The Gilui HaYichud, the essence of what Gilui HaYichud is that there aren't other powers. So that's why definition is clearer and more complete. And that's why he's saying here, Ra plays a role temporarily in terms of the process of demonstrating Yichud. He needs
but
the Ra
it's
there.
Plus two. It's not just the Ra.
Correct, absolutely. But Ra does play a role in the process of Gilui HaYichud.
I don't fully understand the evil concept.
What do you mean?
You need evil in the world, and that shows Yichud HaBore.
What he's saying is this is something he's going to continue to, again, peel away more and more layers of this onion, is that through the Yichud becomes far more apparent when there was something that appeared to be Kineged HaBore, against his values, against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and then you come to realize, no, actually that was all part of, that was actually being powered, but the evil was being powered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was all part of his plan. So for instance, maybe we'll close this example. Let's think about, let's say, we may have discussed this in this forum in the past. Ibn Ezra writes, Ravino talks about this in his Shilom and Yonah. Ibn Ezra writes that Kadosh Baruch, what was it, Kadosh Baruch Hu, was the intent? What was Kadosh Baruch Hu trying to accomplish? To having Moshe grow up in Beis Paro. Such a bizarre story. It's a bizarre series of events. Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu want that? Moshe and Yisrael should grow up in the home of Paro, the palace of Paro. Bah. What was the Kadosh Baruch Hu angling for? Ibn Ezra suggests, you know, the goal was to equip Moshe with the skills and the attitudes and the personality to be a of leadership that he B'derech HaTeva would not have developed growing up in the slave mentality of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. Okay. He grew up in Beis Paro. He had the strength of conviction. He had the self-confidence. He had the oomph. And he had been schooled the best school of political science in the world at the time, arguably was at the center of the Egyptian Empire. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu moved geographically probably only a few miles away, but worlds away from the Jewish slaves in Mitzrayim to the seat of power, Paro's palace. And Moshe Rabbeinu, through an incredibly unusual series of events, ends up being raised in Beis Paro. Okay, let's see Ibn Ezra. Rav Avinair points out, 1 second, how did he get catapulted into Beis Paro? How did he get catapulted, Moshe, get catapulted into the place and the position that would ultimately train him, equip him to become Moshe Nishal Yisrael? How did he get there? Because Paro wanted to, Chazal tells, destroy Moshe Nishal Yisrael. It's Dagnine Paro come and tell him, you know, the Moshe Nishal Yisrael is going to be born soon, you better do something. He decides he's going to kill the Rachman Tzlan. Mass infanticide. He's going to kill all the Jewish baby boys, and that way he'll be sure to destroy Moshe Nishal Yisrael at the outset. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him Bechir Chafetz. Who knows how many thousands, tens of thousands, who knows how many Jewish baby boys were killed because of Paro's edict. And yet, while it's true that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him the space to do incredible, incredible, incredible averus, but not only did Paro not have the ability to stop Kadosh Baruch Hu's goal from being realized, because not only did Paro not succeed in stopping the birth and rise of Moshe Nishal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, he actually directly contributed to it. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I give you Bechir Chafshas. You're a human being with free will, you're using it incredibly poorly, and you got that's what you're doing. But now am I going to bring, Moshe's going to rise Moshe Nishal Yisrael despite you, he's actually going to rise because of you. Because it was Paro's edict, which ends up, which was the cause of Moshe ending up in the Yor, and ultimately found there by Bas Paro, and right, it was Paro's own attempt to stop Moshe Nishal Yisrael, which actually was a critical part of the process of bringing Moshe Nishal Yisrael. He has that in the Yono, based in the Radak. Not for now, but that's part of what's going on here. In other words, it's you see evil and you see what seems to be contrary to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then afterwards you're able to, when the entire series of events is completed, you look back and say, oh, actually Kadosh Baruch Hu was driving everything. It seemed like he wasn't. So that's the greatest gilich, and that's what he's saying, and that's just one aspect, one example of this notion that if the design, if the goal, the telos of the universe of Olam Hazeh is created as Gilui HaYichud, so then we understand that Ra needs to have a foothold. Not that it's independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not. Nothing's independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chose to put Ra in the universe and to ultimately demonstrate its dependence on him.